Blog Talk Radio.
Out there in Carpet Python land, welcome to Morelia Python Radio. Tonight, we're all a little tired coming back from the Carpet Fest 2012 Northeast Edition. It was an awesome time. Big thanks to Howard Redding from Redding Reptile Breeders for hosting the event. He did an awesome job. What's up, Howard? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing much better, much better. The keg's empty and everything's cleaned up for the most part, waiting for recycling day and then
the rest of
a whole bunch of other things, man. It was a damn good time. I'm glad everybody could make it. It was spectacular.
Yeah. A couple of things that impressed me. One, we had great weather. I mean, couldn't pick a better day for weather wise. Number two, we raised a little over $1,400 for U.S. ARC, which Andrew Wyatt should be calling in at some point tonight, and we can get him that money, which was pretty cool. I think Mo got the steal of the night.
Dear God.
She got a pretty good deal. And I think the other thing is that I got to see some of Howard's stuff and some pretty awesome stuff, Howard.
All three of them.
I was particularly impressed with your jungles, man. Wow, they were stunning.
Yeah.
Absolutely
Thanks.
Incredible.
I loved your whole setup, the caging, everything. It looked very, very, very nice. And I'm looking at redoing my entire room. And right now, Animal Plastics is really looking like it's going to win, most in part from seeing your cages in action. So.
Thanks.
Cool.
I like it because it's, I go with the white enclosures, and yeah, you do get, the poo on them, but it's either got to be dark from the proteins, or it's going to be light from the urates, but it's the white and the way it's laid out, it's a nice, clean look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely what I went with for that room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Gorgeous, yeah.
I was also, it was kind of cool that there was some Chondro people there. I thought that was pretty neat, Maryland is definitely the hot spot for Chondro guys, but we had Buddy Buscemi came out, Greg Stevens came out, and Barry Manson came out, and Buddy's been on the show, Greg Stevens is coming on the show, and Barry says we don't want him on the show.
Did you tell him?
Well,
I've been on here numerous times, and Owen's a co-host, so.
Damn right. And speaking of steals of the night, if we kind of talk about the auction, one of us on the phone here did come away with a gorgeous-looking Biak. So, it wasn't all Mo there, Eric.
Yeah, Carl Carl still won't talk to me about that.
You let it go. You let it go. He had a chance.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I so did. That's okay. I didn't even open my mouth once on that one.
Yeah. Carl was definitely the excitement in the auction.
Well, Howard, you came off with a Balin Red Tiger male, so... I didn't come home with anything.
That was a fluke at best. Carl and I were discussing it, and we decided to bump the price up a little bit, try to get a little bit higher than the amount he was asking. So
higher than the starting bid.
So I went $5 over the starting bid, and Owen says, sold. And that was it. I was like, wait.
No. That's how quick that happened. Next time, don't you raise your hand.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time. It was good to finally put names with faces and mm-hmm. actually get to talk to people in a real relaxed atmosphere. And you know, next year should be even bigger and better because we have a whole year to plan for it. So
I don't know. If Eric's gonna keep bringing these really fancy high end morphs to the auction, I will show up with $1,000 and fight anybody for it. So, you know, that's the reason all in itself. The auction all in itself is a reason for people to come out next time. I mean,
yeah.
Christ.
I think that was to the advantage because there wasn't a whole lot of people there, you know what I mean? So, I mean, you know,
a fist fight waiting to happen.
If you had, more than 20, if you had, 50 people in there trying to outbid each other, that could have definitely...
I don't know. That was pretty heated there for a minute for the last one, and that was bouncing between Jason and Mo. It was cool. I enjoyed it. I need a hammer. I want a hammer or a gavel, whatever. So
they're called gavels, thank you.
I don't know. No. Gavels are for normal things. I want a huge-ass hammer with a carpet fest on it and just bang things if it's cold.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a real good time. And you know,
it was food was excellent. And, Howard, that was awesome. The crabs were delicious. And
thanks, man. It's what I do, brother. It's what I do.
Yeah, well, apparently, you know, I'm like, you know, you're like, oh man, for my crawdad cooking, I'm like, please invite me, please, for the love of God.
Well,
I'll bring whatever you want. Just
Jason chipped in on half of those as well. So it was my thought, and he's like, well, hey, let me know what you need, what you got going on. So they're darn tasty.
Yeah. I think for, some of the ideas that we talked about for, at least that I was thinking for next year is, having better advertisement and some of the carpet breeders that were there, giving them things to hand out as they, you know, sell carpet pythons at the shows and maybe take an ad out in, Reptiles Magazine and, you know, just really try to promote the carpet python community. And, you know, I think that's a cool place for... newbies to kind of meet the people that, you know, are...
Oh, yeah, I would have killed for something like this to rub elbows with breeders when I first started.
Yeah.
But I think a good thing for advertisement would be to have you, Eric, with one of those, like, twirling signs at a reptile show, just kind of stand outside and, like, spin it.
Yeah, me and Carl.
Yeah, it'd be great. Oh, my God!
Oh, man. So
we now have all our advertisement. It's going to cost us like $8, and it's perfect.
Yeah.
Can't improve on it at all.
So
Yeah, I was thinking about doing something like that, you know, like maybe having packets to send out to all the breeders, you know, that
mm-hmm.
just have flyers in there, and then that way they can have them posted at their shows. And also, you know, not only, you know, if we get a sale or anything especially, but just, you know, a lot of people come up to us at shows and just show interest, and we just spend – you know, a lot of time discussing it with them, and it'll, to be able to just hand them one and say, hey, come check it out, it'll spark that, and maybe they'll come and check it out, and then...
Yes, and Eric and I have talked about this, about having stuff at the shows on tables. People are definitely willing to talk to you at shows about the carpets and things like that, and even if they just have a small little hint of enthusiasm or interest, it's really hard to really get them... you know, full on into it in the short amount of time you might have at a show. But, you know, you might get them interested enough to come out to Carpet Fest. And then once you're around that many people who are all passionate about one species, good freaking luck trying to walk away without one. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, come on. So that, I think, would just be improvement on the community as well as, you know, ourselves as breeders is, you know, passing along, you know, just trying to get more and more people interested in Morelia in what we're doing. So that was my speech.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the carp, or I think Chondros have the Chondro Coalition, and I think that's just a bunch of breeders that are sort of, you know, try to promote the Chondro community, and you know, they're kind of a tight knit group and whatnot. But I was thinking along the same lines for carpets, as like the breeders that we send the packets out to would be kind of in that, you know, carpet coalition type of thing. And, you know, I think it just would be good for people that are getting into carpet pythons that they know where to go for, you know, quality carpet pythons. You know, and I think that pretty much in our area, I think most of the people that have quality carpet pythons were there, you know what I mean? I think.
Right.
Were we missing anybody?
I gotta say something real quick. I was in Chicago, this is something that kind of stuck with me. A couple Octobers ago. And somebody made this comment about like the East Coast being like the carpet python Mecca. Those were their words. And I had never thought about it before. You know, regionally, how the carpet breeders are kind of divided. But I know there are a lot of us out here.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
It really, I was like, what? Really? Are you kidding me? I was like, no, there's just him, her, him, and, oh, yeah, and
that one, and those people, and, oh, yeah. Shit, yeah, so.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I guess my ultimate dream would be to have, you know, like I was saying before we went live, is the, the Chondro community and the carpet python community, and maybe even, you know, the Morelia or the scrub community all coming together in a big event to where it's like kind of a Morelia fest type of thing. And, you know, I would even love to have, like, you know, somebody come there and speak, and, you know, you could sell stuff, and, you know what I mean? And, you know, just a laid-back type of show. I guess it would be like kind of like a show, but where you see something more than ball pythons. And, you know, there's, I don't know, just really promoting the community. I don't know. So maybe a couple years from now. Who knows? But
pace ourselves. Let's pace ourselves.
Yeah. I have big dreams, Howard.
and that's all there is to it, man. Make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was, you know, I mean, I don't know how you guys felt, but I was really happy that, you know, I know that a long time that people have been talking about it, and I'm glad it just came together and everybody helped out and pitched in. And I think that, you know, again, what a nice group of people, man.
Yeah, I got to add something to that, man. It really was great. You know, myself being a little nervous, you know, to opening up, you know, my house to people that I don't know, you know, don't even have a clue who they are. But, and it's not that this surprised me, but it was great to see that everybody, you know, was just way laid back and, you know, la-di-da. It was perfect. It's like, you know, we've hung out 1,000 times, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
It was awesome. It was a great group of people. We just need another 50 or 60 like that, and we'll be doing something great.
Oh yeah, it'll be a hotel.
Exactly.
Not here.
Yeah. So I would like to make a note that I was there at least a good, what was it, hour before Eric arrived. So
yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna talk.
I don't know. I was busy. I don't know.
You were, dude.
That's all I got for you.
Yeah. I was, you know, I talked to Howard the day before, and I said, yeah, I'm going to get there. You know, I'd like to get there like a half hour early or so, you know, to help with whatever. And then Luke was supposed to his train was coming in at 10:30, and then it got moved back to 11:30. And then I got stuck in traffic going down to pick him up at the train station. And then when we were coming out of the train station, we hit traffic going over the bridge to Jersey to go pick up Jason. You know, and it's like we just kept sitting in traffic. And it was a funny thing. When I went to pick up Luke, it's like kind of going around the 30th Street station. I've never been there before. So I go and I pick him up, and I go around in a circle, and I go to turn, like, thinking I'm going out onto the main street, but I turn back into 30th Street Station, so I kept looping around. I'm like, what the hell? You
know? I know exactly what you're talking about. I work down there, so I'm like, that, yeah, you can get confused quite easily.
Man. You know, Luke's thinking, what the hell is going on here, man?
It would have been easier walking. So, yeah, I mean.
So. And then we hit traffic coming in. I don't know what that traffic was on 5 or something like that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That's called Saturday traffic.
Ah.
Period. This place is a mess, especially being a nice day like it was.
Yeah.
That's why typically I either don't leave the house on the weekends or I'm out of state.
Good.
You know?
That's why I don't like having off on the weekend, exactly. Yeah, so. But.
That works.
Yeah, I still don't have Andrew on here. I don't know if he got my message or not, but hopefully he calls in soon. I told him sometime.
Have that giant cardboard check here with me. I don't know how we're going to present this over a radio show, but we'll have to just pretend.
I know, right? I got a question for you guys while we're waiting.
Go for it.
I am on day 65 for my Zebra Jags. Clutch, number 2. That's a long time, ain't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's I'd say.
Should I cut them?
I vote yes.
I mean, how do they look?
They're kind of
dimpled. Did they dimple? Did they?
The last
couple of weeks they've been changing on, you know, I mean.
Yeah. I think it's been probably since last, it's probably about a week that they've been dimpled in. And they're, you know, they're kind of like that soft, leathery.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But I keep going in there and I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do and I don't want to lose them, but, you know, I don't want to do it too earlier. But I'm thinking 64, what is it? 65. That's a long time.
Honestly, I'd razor one. And this is just me, because at this point that, like, they are baby carpets. They are developed. I would at least cut one thin enough that you can get the shell. Don't try to cut the sack off the baby, because if they're not ready, you'll see, and you can just kind of leave it alone.
Okay.
Let it come out on its own. So,
but what about the fact that it's maternal incubation?
Well, I mean,
see, now there's a problem. Good luck getting past mom.
Yeah.
So,
what were you going to say, Howard?
They're at, say, 64.
65.
I'd give them a little while longer, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to disappear, and, you know, there's so many variables and everything. I'd give them a little bit longer. I'd give them till Saturday, and have you checked them good? I mean, you've been able to kind of peel it apart a little bit and get in there and
yeah. I get in there and I look at them, and I noticed, like, today I really had her sort of away from the pile enough to where I could see, because I thought maybe the bottom eggs they slit, and I just don't see it, you know.
Right.
Because what I did with the last clutch is, as soon as one cut, you know, slit the egg, I just pulled them and then cut all the eggs and then just set them in my rack and kept them moist. And that was pretty much it. But there is one egg in there that's moldy. But, you know, I was talking to Jason Balin about it, and he was saying that he's had that before. And it just strikes me as odd that she's maternally incubating it, and the egg in the clutch is moldy, and none of the other eggs are moldy. But when we put that egg in the in your incubator, Owen, like artificial incubation, those eggs that were outside of the coils, they just, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That'll happen.
So. That's because they've been doing it for 180 million years, and we just started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you remember? You remember Eric when you came over with them, and I candled the ones that were out of the coils, and they were bright, bright yellow. I mean, there was probably nothing in there anyway. So, I don't know.
Huh? I don't know. It's just interesting. I'd even be surprised if something hatches. I don't know. I mean, other than there's like mold on the top of the egg. I mean, I know that I heard somebody say. I think it might have been Nick one time said. If it's blue and yellow, wait it out, or it's, I don't know, something like that.
I've heard if it's blue mold, the baby's dead.
Okay.
If it's kind of like any other color, that you can kind of combat it until the baby hatches, which I have before. I had one or two moldy eggs in last year's clutch, and what I read and what I did was you can take Listerine and dilute it down and take a Q-tip and rub it over the egg, and that'll kill the mold. But you're going to have to do it, like, every other day because the mold keep coming back. But that, you can keep the mold at bay until the baby hatches.
Huh. Interesting.
Which, you know, I did it, and baby hatched, and it smelled minty fresh, but, you know, it was healthy. So, but I have a question for the two of you if we're going to be posing questions about eggs. My caramel tiger eggs have begun to dent in and do the normal stuff that you would see in carpet eggs getting ready to hatch. And they're not due to till June 5th. So, now remember, these guys were in their mom 42 days after her prelay.
What, and... are they drying? I mean, did you get some moisture to them, man? Is that what it is?
No, they're normal. They're doing their thing. There's nothing has changed. Nothing is going on. Nothing is different.
You got condensate on the side of the boxes and
Everything's reading perfect.
Huh.
Maybe the extra time in the mom is.
Remember, we were talking about this when they hatched. It's like, are these guys going to hatch sooner than a normal clutch would because they were inside their mom for that extended time?
Right.
Like, were they further along in their development by the time she finally was induced and laid them?
I don't know. I don't know. I think we have Luke on the line. He might put some insight into that. Is that you, Luke?
Yes, sir, it is.
Hey, what's up?
Yay.
What's going on?
Hey, gents, how is it?
It's doing all right.
What's going on, buddy?
Wow, it's a lot of voices at one time.
Yeah, no.
How are you? This is Howard.
I'm well. It's actually, like, when I actually did call in to, like, talk about, like, the incubation egg stuff, but, like, I don't know if it was just my feed on the computer, but it kept cutting out, and it kept pissing me off, so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to call in, and I can listen that way.
Screw this, I know the number. So, yeah,
exactly. But I don't know, you're on day 65 with them, Eric?
Yeah, it's day 65.
I'd pull her and cut him if it was me.
Yeah?
Thank you.
That's just my in fact, the first clutch I ever did, I did an MI clutch with some IJs. And she was on, like, day 68 or 69. I literally thought the eggs were dead because they looked so bad. Like, they were so dented in. They were just, like, crumpled messes. And, like, finally I pulled her, and I was just like, there's no way these things are alive. And all the babies were in there, survived. They were fine, but they were really dried out. It was almost like the clutch got so dry that they almost couldn't pip on their own kind of thing.
Huh.
Uh-oh.
But that was... You know, that was, I don't know how long yours started dimpling, like you said, a week ago, right?
Yeah, it's been about a week, I guess.
I mean, you should be okay. I mean, normally they start dimpling, like, what, 2 weeks out? They're supposed to.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't think you'd cause any harm if you pulled her and you cut one just to see where they're at and, you know, throw them in one of your racks or whatever, like at this point they're pretty far along and I'm sure they're probably okay. Carpet eggs are pretty resilient, but, you know, that's your own personal preference of, you know, how badly you want to see them or not.
Well,
I hear him saying
pretty damn bad.
I'm sharpening scissors right now. I just, you know, I just didn't want to, like, mess it up. And then I thought, you know, if I put them back, is the mom going to go back and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
like I said, I think you're far enough along that you're past any kind of danger zone. But I think some, I forget who posted on, because my one IJ clutch went a little long this year and I was starting to get nervous. And I think somebody said they had a clutch go like 70 days.
Jeez.
Wow.
So, you know. That's
my brain.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that would drive me nuts. I cut my clutch on day 60 this year because it was driving me nuts. I was just like, I just got to make sure stuff's moving in there, you know, make sure everything is okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I mean, they all look pretty good. I mean, they're not really dented into where they look like they're dead or anything, but, you know, just that one moldy egg that's in there. But other than that, they look pretty decent. I don't like the way that she – I used, like, strips of paper as the you know, like the bedding. And the reason I think the one molded up is because of the way that she, like, kind of put the newspaper over top of the eggs and then coiled over top of the newspaper.
That's kind of
suffocated it.
Yeah. So – you know, when I noticed that, I kind of pulled it away, and, you know, but then I thought, is she doing something that, is she doing that for a reason? You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know. I guess the only difference is that she's a little lower to the ground, her cage, than my IJ that I did maternal incubation with. I don't know if that has something to do with it. I would say that. Yeah, I would say that probably her temps are a little cooler than the other one. I mean, I would think that there would be a natural drop a couple degrees or so, but...
Sure. That's like Howard said, they've been doing this for 180 million years, so, you know, what the hell do we
yeah.
know?
That's it, guys. Seriously.
Yeah. So.
I did get to see Howard's snake doing maternal this weekend. It was definitely very cool.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's just that easy.
It's a snake in a box in a box. That's all it is.
And then that snake brings many tinier snakes. So, yeah.
It's fun just walking in there and looking at her and going, that's cool. Okay. All right, who's eating? Moving on. And, you know.
Right. It's great.
What day are you on with your clutch, Howard?
I think I'm about 2 weeks out. I couldn't tell you what day. My expectation date is the 26th.
Okay.
So I think that's right around like day 52-ish, starting on the early side. I'd have to go through and count.
And then, Luke, you had your red clutch hatch out. Congratulations on that. That's pretty nice.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm stoked. There's some one red one. Pretty snazzy looking, so I'm pretty excited to see that.
Now, is this a different pairing than your normal pairing?
Yeah, it's the same female, different male. And I'm stoked because he knocked up another red female that I've never bred before, so I'm kind of curious to compare the two clutches, see, you know, how red the reds are, to kind of trace it back, like if the male's packing all the heat or if it is, you know, connected to the particular female as well. So, and because it's different than the males that I used the past 2 years, you know, I'll kind of be able to gauge a little bit better on, you know, who's able to do what kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, that one was star. I don't know if you guys caught that caramel ghost.
Yes. Awesome.
That Wayne Larks posted up. Hypo Carmo Atlantic. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
That is pretty neat. I will admit that's like, you know, I don't know, the exam sticks don't do a whole lot for me, you know, in their present day form, but when you see the use of it being done like that, that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. My Xantic girl just shed out today, and what a difference, man. Woo. Very cool. When it showed up, it was kind of like drab and dark and kind of, you know, I was like, eh, I don't really, I'm with you, Luke. It was kind of like, eh, maybe they're okay, I guess, but it's just like a dull carpet, dull coastal, you know, but then she shed out and wow. So.
And you're like, oh, there'll be snows in like 6 years or something. So that's what I'll just focus on.
Yeah, exactly. So I am going to try to get in contact with Andrew real quick.
You guys
converse amongst yourselves, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, crap. I have the whole conversation.
Right. So how about this weather, guys? What's going on there? It's like
hot as balls. I mean,
no, it's like raining and thundering and lightning and all that fun stuff down here.
I'm actually hoping, well, actually, we are getting that up here too, and I'm hoping that that does well for me because I'm still waiting on a girl to drop eggs. And, like, she's at the point now where she's coiled up. You see near her tail is this giant bulge, and it's like, come on. I've already had some issues. Don't make me go to the vet again, so...
I was going to say, did you already have one go like 42 days post
pre-lay
shed?
42 days after pre-lay shed. This one missed her due date was the 11th, so we're a few days out. And then I have another one that has not shed but is swollen beyond all belief, where I'm like, you have to have something going on in here. So
right.
I'm probably going to be taking them both just to get checked out because I'm nervous of such things.
Oh, is the second one definitely gravid?
Yeah, I don't know. She's got a giant lump that has I watched travel from about midway down to her, down towards her vent, and she has been locked up with my caramel and my tiger, but she has not shed, and she hasn't eaten in a very long time. So it's like, all right, well, I don't know what's going on with you. You kind of confuse me, so let's take a look inside kind of deal, so...
Right.
I'd rather pay the money and have the, you know, ultrasound or the x-ray and then know rather than be sitting there going, and then have it wind up being egg bound or something crazy.
Well, I mean, you'll be able to feel those. If you palpate it, you'll definitely be able to feel it.
Yeah, I feel something. There's something there, but.
A big clot of urate.
Could be.
That's possible. And she could be like this gas buildup going on in there.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things it could be, so.
But did she go through, like, a pre-lay shed or anything, or is this, like, even before that?
No pre-lay, but like I said, locked up with my caramel and my tiger numerous times.
Huh.
So.
I don't know. Yep. I'm getting a late clutch from one of my females that I completely had written off, and, you know, then all of a sudden she was just like, oh, look at that. She's ovulating. And so, who knows?
Oh, wait a minute. So.
No more babies. Woohoo.
Yeah, coincidentally, though, I'm getting insane amounts from the colubrids. I have 84 corn snake eggs.
What?
Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't trying for that many, I swear to God.
How many do they lay at a time? I mean, how many did you breed?
19, 20.
Jesus.
To get about 19, 20. And those are just like, you know, and I'm talking tiny corn snakes to 19, 20. Big corn snakes can get up into the 40s. But I had two corn snakes lay the eggs, and then I bought two more, and I'm thinking, all right, you guys, you know, mix up the colors and whatever. There's something that you can sell as, like, you know, a little kid comes over, they're talking about a first pet snake. I really don't want to sell them a carpet python. You know, that's maybe not a good first snake for some little kids and stuff like that. But anyway, so the two corn snakes that I bought, I open up their cages today, and they're both around clutches. I'm like, no, oh, God. So now we have 84 corn snake eggs and 8 bull snake eggs. So it's like, oh, okay, struck out with the pythons, but the colubrids are firing on all cylinders.
Jeez.
Making some hissing pits, huh?
Yes.
So, nice.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, right. Well, I wanted to reiterate what Eric said, Howard. Thanks again for hosting all of us down there. That was definitely a good time on Saturday and a well-run event. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Certainly, man. It was damn fun. I had a great time, and I like, you know, entertaining people. I don't know anybody that doesn't, but it was definitely a lot of fun, especially having, you know, that group of people together, you know, because typically we're all too busy, you know, if we're vending shows or if we're, you know, at a show, we're too busy focusing on everything else, trying to make sales or trying to, you know, do whatever. We don't have time to just sit back and relax and, yes. And,
hey, guys, I have Andrew on the phone, and he's going to come on. Hold on, let me click him on there.
Way too many people on the line right now.
Hey, Andrew, welcome to the show. How you
hey,
doing?
Hey, Eric, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
No problem. I just wanted to let you know what we did is we had our first ever Carpet Fest, and the Carpet community, Carpet Python community, got together. It was sponsored, or it was hosted by Howard Redding of Redding Reptile Burritos, who's on the line. Hey, Howard.
Howdy, howdy. Thank you.
And we had an auction, and we had a bunch of people donate animals, and we raised a little about $1,500 to donate to US ARC. So we just wanted to let you know that we're doing what we can to try to support you, and we appreciate all you do for us.
Well, that sounds like it was a very successful auction, and I just want to thank you guys, Eric, Howard, everybody who was a part of it. Thank you very much. We can use every dollar, believe me.
Well, awesome. We're definitely happy to help out. You guys are the only ones, you know, standing up for us when it comes to certain things. So definitely our pleasure.
Yes. Yes. Is there any news on any fronts that we should know about or anything that you wanted to touch on real quick? Or?
Well, I mean, the big mud fight right now is Ohio. You know, they can go from a free state to one of the most restricted states practically overnight, you know. So we've been working hard on that. I've been to Ohio half a dozen times since last December.
Wow.
And so it's been tough there. There's a lot more involved in it than just reptiles. Of course, you know, we just speak to the reptile piece of it. Being a trade organization that represents the reptile industry, we can't really go in and talk about lions and tigers and bears because we don't know anything about lions and tigers and bears. But we do know about reptiles. And so we offered, in the Senate, the senator who was the sponsor of the bill was a little disingenuous, I would say, and we had spoken to him long before he actually put the bill into play, and the bill that ended up coming out was nothing like what we had discussed and the suggestions we had given them, and he then, after the bill was introduced, he said that was just a starting point, and then, you know, we could work on it from there. And I didn't really agree with that. I thought a starting point was when we started, not when the bill was introduced. So, so he did end up making some minor amendments, but even with the amendments, it wasn't even close to what we'd talked about before the bill was introduced. The House seems to be a little bit more receptive. The bill passed out of the Senate and crossed over into the House of Representatives. and the bill seems to be getting, they seem to be a little more receptive to our message there. We submitted a comprehensive amendment that would fundamentally change the way they're dealing with the reptiles. It would reduce the fees quite a bit, eliminate the permit system in favor of a registration, and get all the constrictors completely off the table and just focus on a registration system around the venomous. But so it's gone to bill writing. It's gone to their legal department, and we shall see probably here pretty soon whether it ends up being accepted or not.
Wow, that's kind of there's a lot of carpet people that, you know, Tinley's kind of a big deal, Tinley Park. So I would think that's.
Yeah. The thing about it is right now the way they've got it in the bill is there's a clause that allows for administrative rulemaking without going through the legislative process. So that means, you know, they can basically change the bill however they want to, add any animal they want to without going through the legislative process, just at the whim of the director of Ohio Department of Agriculture. And so, you know, it negates even the minor amendments that the Senate made, you know, by like one of the so-called big things was dropping boa constrictor from the bill. Well, the thing was, boa constrictor wasn't supposed to be in the bill in the first place. None of the constrictor snakes were. So they basically put boa constrictor on there so that they could give it back and act like they were, you know, negotiating in good faith and trying to work with us and yada, yada, yada. But that was just completely disingenuous and dishonest on the part of the bill sponsor. They didn't give us anything. You know, they're wanting to make it seem like they're doing us a favor by allowing us to exist. You know, and
right.
There are some people out there who feel very grateful for that, but I'm not one of them.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Okay. So, you know, again, you know, we're just trying to do, you know, our part to try to help you guys out, because, you know, you do so much for us, and we really appreciate it. And this is our way.
Well, I really appreciate
thanks.
What y'all are doing.
So. So yeah, I guess I'll send you an email about, you know, how I'm going to get the money to you, but we just wanted to let you know that, it's going to be coming your way, and, a big thanks to the Carpet Python community and all that, you know, were involved in the event. So it was very good.
Yeah, thank all of you, everybody that was involved with, Carpet Fest, and, I really appreciate it, all the hard work, Eric and Howard and everybody who helped to make this thing happen.
Okay, yeah, and hopefully next year we'll be bigger and better and we'll do it all again.
There you go. Thank you very much, y'all.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
Night.
You too.
Thanks for calling in.
Take care.
Yep. There we go. Well, I'm glad Andrew came on, and I'm glad that we could get that going. And you know, I'm really happy that you know, that we did do that. And hopefully next year will be, like I said, bigger and better, and keep supporting those guys. So
yeah, eventually we'll
definitely
be dumping truckloads on USR. It'll be great.
Yeah.
So,
so yeah, I just want to go ahead.
I was just going to say, imagine that. Politicians are making up the rules as they play the game.
Yeah, Jesus.
You know?
I mean, Andrew's probably got to read every single thing that they do and put out, like, really carefully so that he doesn't miss any of the stupid little backdoors and loopholes they build for themselves. Like that whole boa constrictor thing. It's like, you know, hey, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, yeah. Other people might have missed
clause
that.
Clause 2 under paragraph 3, section 1 point whatever.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly why I am not him. So
right.
And you know, I go back and, you know, just putting this show together and, you know, Howard, you know, putting the Carpet Fest together and, and Breed, I just can't imagine how much time that he must invest in, you know, protecting our rights. So, again, if there's anybody that's listening that's not a member of USARC, first of all, shame on you. Second of all,
what the hell's wrong with you?
Go and join so that you know what's going on and you can... be a member and be informed with everything that's going on. Because, you know, sometimes I listen to some of the other radio shows, reptile radio shows, oriented around reptiles, and they talk about some people, and they don't even know. They talk about these people they meet, and they don't even know anything about, like, these bills to try to pass or, you know, anything like that. And that's kind of scary a little bit, you know, that there's this huge community and, you know, people don't know about what's going on. So I don't know. I could go on and on and on forever about that. But I just wanted to say a big thanks to Howard again. You know, he really came through and, you know, awesome host. And, you know, you have awesome snakes. And if you're in the mood for a top quality carpet python, Howard's your guy because he has some really cool stuff. So, thank you again, Howard.
Huge. Thank you. Thank you very much. I do appreciate the endorsement. Just don't ask me for them this year. Next year's a next year's a damn good bet. And the year after that, then it'll be crazy around here.
Yeah.
Right. So, are we having Carpet Fest at Howard's again next year?
Sure.
Done. He already agreed to it. Now it's done. It's too late now. We have it on air. He's locked in, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
it was so much fun, you know, and if we can schedule it around the same time, it works out great for me, and because I have an event a couple weeks before this, so it's easy for me to still have all the stuff together. And
yeah. Next year, I'm not going to drive, though.
Are you going to do fly?
No. I mean drive, like, the night, you know, because I really don't drink that much. And, you know, it's like, you know, there's plenty of places to – I'll sleep in my truck if I have to.
But. Dude, I have really awesome lazy boys, man. You can spend some quality time.
Oh, okay.
If Eric fell asleep near me, I would – I'd have to mess with him somehow. It's just I couldn't not leave that one alone. It's like how your Facebook status changed when I was on your computer. It was just had to happen.
Oh, you did that?
No.
I told you.
Somebody said something to me about it, and I was like, huh, what? And then it's over. Go. Okay, well, I know Eric was there. I know Owen was there, and all right, well, whatever.
Eric did it. I tried to stop him, Howard, but he wouldn't listen.
Right.
Mad with power.
But it does. Wearing women's dresses makes you feel pretty.
I assume it does.
You're absolutely right, Owen.
Okay. I'm glad I was correct there.
So.
Oh, very cool.
Now that that's out of the way.
I don't know. I don't know if you guys want to hit on anything else, or you know, if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about. I didn't know if we're gonna cut this show a little short or whatever, but you know, I just wanted to make sure that we got a big thanks out to you, Howard, again, and we got Andrew on here, and we'll be sending him money.
And Luke showed up too.
And Luke called in, yeah. And don't forget, Luke. Luke designed the T-shirts. And
yeah.
He did an awesome job, and I still have some available. If you want some, they're $20. And
I still owe you for my T-shirt.
Yes, you do.
Well, yes.
You
yes,
can
you
email
do.
Me at rectopythonradio@gmail.com, and once I get all that money together for that, that's also going to USARC. So.
They are awesome T-shirts.
Yep.
I love them greatly.
While we're talking about shirts real quick, I do have that invoice for those shirts if you need it.
Okay.
Would like it.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know how you have things organized that way, so I do have it just in case you're wondering or not. But it was, like I said, you know, it was great. It was nice to have
you know, all those different people there, and, you know, especially some of the conjure people to get, you know, different insight. It's all pretty much the same, just, you know, people's different little nuances here and there as far as, you know, husbandry and incubation. But it was still great to be able to just sit back and have a blast. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, I agree. So hopefully next year maybe we'll be able to actually broadcast from the show and, I mean, broadcast from the event, because we tried
all
that.
All right, I forgot the computer. Will you drop it? God damn.
Yeah, we couldn't do that. So, but, you know, we live and learn. And like I said, I think people will be interested in it because, I don't know, I got people. I don't know if people are contacting you, Howard, but I had a few people contact me about if we're doing it again next year. So.
Yeah, I did have a couple people ask about it. And, you know, like, you know, if they had more time or if it didn't, you know, if they could have scheduled it, you know, stuff like that, then they're definitely interested. So we did spark an interest in this. Everybody said, holy cow, that sounded like a great time, you know.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of, a lot of feedback with that.
Yeah.
Some of the little posts that have been here and there on different forums.
I'm saying that we should do it sooner.
Yes. How about next week?
She wants to do it every quarter.
Every quarter.
Yeah,
once
every
a month.
Every 3 months.
Every 3 months? All right, say once a month. Howard,
all right, maybe if we switch in between my house and Owen's house, I might be able to swing that one.
Oh, no, guys.
Oh, no. Twice a year. She's saying twice a year, so.
Twice a year would be okay with me.
And who's this?
This is Mo.
Oh, Mo. Okay.
Mo.
So twice a year, once at my place, once at her place. She's got a nice place,
I like it,
man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So we'll have winter carpet fest and spring carpet fest. It'd be great.
Yeah, she's saying we can switch between her house and your house.
That sounds very
nice.
Familiar.
Yeah. Done. It's online now. It's on. We have agreements.
There
done
we go.
Now. Can't back out.
Wait. Oh. See, she has a husband to discuss this with. I don't have a spouse to discuss anything with.
Yeah. Looks like she bypassed that.
Yeah. Right. Wine.
So.
John's a great minor guy,
detail.
But he's a big dude.
Why, Eric will go over there and discuss this. I'll stay here.
You know what was really cool, though? I have to say, speaking of Mo, I mean, you know, she had two jungle jags there. And then she had... Riddler there, and then she had one of her gamma jags there, and holy yellow, man. Good Lord.
God, I preach against the mutts, but my God, I may be breaking.
Yeah.
She kept taunting me with this jungle jag female that I saw at a show that she was vending, and, you know, haunts my nightmares kind of deal.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, you should buy me, Owen, kind of deal.
Yeah, she was saying the same to me, but if I didn't owe people money, I would have bought it.
you
I was trying to sell
fiat,
Howard,
yeah.
You know, something from, you know, something from the clutch, but, you know,
yeah.
And then I could transfer that money.
Yeah,
that's right. It's funny, whenever I've been in shows, a lot of times we share tables because, you know, just space, we don't have enough stuff to, you know, both of us to vend a pool table. And so we hang out, and she'll bring some of her holdbacks and, you know, all the crazy bright yellow stuff she has. I can't even – mayhem and all the crazy animals she has. And it's great. I get the overflow of traffic. People come look at it, and then I'm like, hey, look over here, folks, while you're here. So
would you like a balloon? So, yeah, I mean
– Yeah, it's nice that there's, you know, there's that interest in it, and it keeps them there long enough to where we can try to pry into their heads and say, no, they're carpet pythons, you can buy them. And they're like, well, how much is that one for sale for? And if Mo's across, I said, make me an offer. She's not here. Come on, what do you got?
How much you want?
Nice.
I don't get dropped below 4,200.
That's nice of you.
There you go.
Yeah.
just don't get caught up and, like, you know, accidentally sell something. It's like, oh, rap. Then you gotta explain to her what happened.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, we're. She's saying that they are good attractors. They keep them at the table for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So. So, I guess that's, you know, actually, you know what I want to do real quick? I want to read the people that donated to the auction so I get their names out.
Go ahead.
On the air. Let's see. We had a Peter. He made some hide boxes, which that one Condro box that he made was pretty cool.
That was lit.
Yeah, that was most of that. I donated a Carpet Python book, and then we got Luke. He donated an IJ, which was another
mm-hmm.
steal of the night. That was a Rogue Reptile hoodie.
Rowan. He donated by me.
Uh-huh. Tiger Carpet, donated by Mo. That was nice. Luke also donated a hydrometer, which was kind of cool. Jason Balin, he donated one of his red tigers. Buddy Buscemi, he donated a Biak green tree python. Howard, he donated a bin of stuff.
A bin of kitchen utensils and food,
And he bought his bin of stuff.
Yes, he did, because I think he said something about he took out all the stuff that he wanted anyway. So
it wasn't even mine, but yeah, I did get it. And I got some good stuff in there, man. There was some good stuff in there.
Yeah. I did donate the
Port-a-John. Although none of that stuff. If you want to take any returns from that and give that to you, Sark, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I don't think so either. They're probably not going to want that.
Yeah.
No.
And there was a couple things that nobody jumped on, which was kind of crazy. There was a couple of animals there that were – that one jungle there was pretty nice, but nobody jumped on that. You had some
– I had a red jag and a sibling. And then I was going – the pair was going to go. And then I had a high-contrast Queensland boy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Is I think if we had more people, maybe some of the other things would have gone because we – I mean, we put the bidding price pretty low for these kind of things, and I heard amongst the carpet people, like, that was a good deal, but you know, most of the people there have jags breeding age, so they don't need a baby.
I think that's the issue with a small group like that, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's a great price on it, but we already have them, or we're making them this year, you know?
Yes.
So it's,
yeah, so why, yeah.
It's one of those things, so.
Yeah. And then, of course, Mo, she got the zebra jag that I donated because Owen told me I had to donate that. I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding.
You were there with a jag and a zebra jag. You're like, which one should I do? Because I can't make decisions on my own. And I said that one. And then you did, and then it went. So, yeah, come on.
Yeah. And Mo's going to inject some mojo into that zebra jag line. So.
God, I hope so. God. And I'm interested to see what those babies, like, I think those might actually be, that baby will probably be the dullest one in her collection. Not anything against you, Eric, but because, remember, it's got red tiger in it. So I'm interested to see what that clutch does when it grows up because I'm like, what the hell is that going to do in there? So hold back, like, all of them so I can see.
I did have the one shed out that's really reduced pattern, and that thing's going to be a screamer.
Yeah, that one's my favorite.
I can tell already, like, the real reduced saddles are real red, and then the base color is like a real like light gray type of color, and it's gonna be nice. So
love it.
So there you go. You know, again, thank everybody for donating and coming out and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else really.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
So all I got, except, I'm sorry, never mind.
That was a complete thought. All right.
It was.
All right, folks, I'm a bow out. I got, I
so I still got to feed snakes tonight. But anywho, yeah, I got to jump. I will talk to you very shortly, the both of you.
Okay.
And
all right.
It's great to be on the show, and Eric, it's great to that you got everything going, and you said let's do it, and we did it, and we're gonna do it again.
Yes, awesome.
And always, Owen, your levity, as I may refer to it as, is always.
I do what I can, my friend. I do what I can.
Hey, you do it well, man. You do
thank
it
you.
Well. All right, folks. Take care now.
All right, Howard.
Thank you very much, Howard.
Sir. Bye.
So yeah, that was just a, what's that?
Luke still here?
No, he bailed out.
Luke's gone.
Luke, yeah, he bailed out.
Luke just left.
When Andrew came on, he bailed out. So.
Okay. Good.
But, you know, yeah, I'm going to cut the show short tonight, and I just wanted to do a quick recap of the Carpet Fest and the success it was, and, you know,
I can't
full
wait
times.
For next year.
Yep. And go ahead.
Nothing. Can't wait for next year.
Okay.
It's going to be fun.
I'm going to jump off and then try to decide whether I should cut or not cut. Not still sure yet. If
it sounds so bad when you say it like that.
Yeah. If you want a Carpet Python Fest shirt.
T-shirt.
Contact me at moreliapythonradio@gmail.com, and
cool.
I will get that out to you. They're $20, and they're
well worth it.
Really nice.
Yep.
Next week we have Ed Lilly. He goes by Panama Red on the forum, the Morelia Python forum.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming on. We're going to talk caging and you know, all the different options that he has, and you know, I'm definitely going to be upping my caging system this year, so I'm interested to talk to him. You know, that's going to be a nice investment. And I know he puts together stacks and racks, and he has some nice background stuff and, you know, some really cool stuff that he has going on there. So,
mm-hmm.
so he's going to be coming on. And then, after that, we have Brian Barczyk coming on. He's going to come on and talk about the reptile industry, and we're going to talk about his trips to Australia, all the different things that he does down there. I know he writes for Scales and Tails magazine. I think he does
awesome.
An article once a month there, and, you know, of course, he has Snake Bites TV, and, you know, I just want to get a little bit diversity in who we're talking to, and, you know,
right.
He's pretty much got his pulse. He's got the finger on the pulse of the reptile industry, so looking forward to that. Then we have a couple other cool people. We have Greg Stevens coming on next month.
Right.
We have I met him at Carpet Fest. What an awesome guy. Definitely Chondro people are so, like, I don't know, man. They're, like, super smart, I guess. I don't know how. So in tune with their animals. It's just amazing that, you know, how much they really pay attention to what goes on with their animals. And this guy's
mm-hmm.
system, from what Julie was saying, is just top-notch. You'll never see another one like it. And, you know, we're going to talk to him about that. And then we have who else? I'm trying to think who else. We have I can't remember, but I'll get the list up.
Ryan Young's coming on soon.
Yep. He's going to be talking to white lips and other pythons that are...
Well, I asked if that's my neck of the woods.
Yep. And then also Jim's friend from the UK, he goes... Oh, man, now I forget what he goes by over on... carpet pythons, but he deals with a lot of Layassa stuff, and Zawalski.
Okay. I need more information for the Max and other random things that I somehow have now. So
yeah. So he's going to be coming on too, and he's from the UK, and he's like Jim's partner in crime, so to speak, and they they put together some of that mainstream type of pythons, and you know, they're breeding those, so very cool. I think that is all I got.
All right. So I guess that's it. I guess if you want to get in contact with me, go on Facebook and search for Rogue Reptiles, and you will find us there. RogueReptiles.com is currently being remodeled, so we need to – don't go there.
Don't go.
All right, and that's pretty much it for me. Eric?
Okay, I have – make sure you go over and check out Morelia Python forums. Definitely the place to be if you're into carpet pythons. It's pretty much the carpet python community over there. Very cool site, lots of information. So go join up, check it out. We also have Morelia Python Radio on Facebook. Go over and like us, check it out there. We also have Morelia Pick of the Week. If you want to become a member of that, just shoot me, ask to join, and I'll sign you up there. And we also have the Carpet Fest page that if you're interested in coming to the Carpet Fest next year and seeing what shenanigans went on, shoot me a message there and I'll sign you up for that. You check out ebmorelia.com. That's my site.
Oh, yeah. Do that one.
I got that up and running. I'm still trying to finish it, but it's there, and check it out.
Cool.
That's all I got. Yeah, got any questions for any upcoming guests? Any guests that you would like to hear, just email me at moreliapythonradio@gmail.com.
Awesome.
That's all I got.
Awesome.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess we will see everybody next week. And, yeah, everybody have a good week, and we'll see you then.
Okay.
All right, good night.
All right. Good night.